You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Timmy Doom. This episode, it's like July 26th. It is July 26th, and I have for you new comics from July 25th for this week. I have a couple. I just bought a few. I don't buy lots of comic books, unfortunately, but I get the good ones. And the first one I have is a Grant Morrison comic book. And by the way, Bleeding Cool is full of shit. These websites, these superhero comic book websites, some of them are just some bullshit because they're trying to get more information out every few hours. They're trying to get some new bit of news to say that first and try to make it as sensational as possible. But they're full of shit. This is the website that said Bleeding Cool is the website said, oh, Batman Incorporated number 3 is not coming out because here I got the article right here, but it said it's not coming out basically because there was some controversial panels in it or something. I don't even have it here. Oh, it says, yesterday, retailers were given notice that Batman Incorporated, which was expected to hit stands Wednesday, will be held back for a month. The reason stated is due to content in the issue that would be considered insensitive so soon after the movie theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado. The comic book came out. Oh, yeah, and by the way, they made speculations as to which panels. They showed a couple of panels of a teacher in front of a classroom full of students with a gun. And the kids stop all scared. And then there was another image, the cover image of Matches Malone, Bruce, which is one of Bruce Wayne's identities that he, besides Batman. And anyway, it's not just him, but there's like 3 guns pointed at him. I'm like, really, really, that's why they want to hold it back? And I told the comic book shop store owner that I was like, yeah, I know that's going to be held back. He said, it's not held back. It's coming out. It's coming out tomorrow. I said, maybe they changed the cover, but it's coming out. And I was like, whatever. I went the next day. It was there. I have Batman Incorporated. That's my first review. And not only did the cover image not change, but the panel with the teacher and the gun in the classroom, that's still there too. So what the fuck they talking about? Ain't nothing. I don't know, man. I don't know. But it came out as per normal. No changes. Let's see here. Let me do my review of Batman Incorporated number 3. Now, I've been reviewing it since it came out. There's only been two previous issues. And it's the story of Leviathan, another underworld group that's taking over Gotham. The first issue was about, you know, the death of Robin by the hands of Leviathan. And the second issue was the origin of the apparent leader of Leviathan, Talia al Ghul, who is Robin's mother and Batman's former lover. But those are two good comics, and they were dark as fuck. And it's very timely given with the subject of the movie. I mean, one of the bad guys, the ending of the movie, you'll see the ending of the movie. It kind of parallels with, you know, themes and characters that are in the Dark Knight Rises movie. So I think it's cool that they got the League of Shadows in this Grant Morrison comic book at the same time the movie's coming out. They done good. But this is too dark for me. This is this story is scary, creepy, dark. Because, let's see here. They first start out, they're kidnapping people who are either in Gotham or coming to Gotham. Like, there's an image of a young, bright-eyed woman at, like, the Grand Central Station in Gotham. And she's kidnapped and taken away. And we see a woman who looks kind of like her entering the classroom of school kids. And obviously she took this woman's identity. And she took her clothes even. But I'm like, and this woman is part of the Leviathan. And we find out that there's more people like judges, cops, who are also, they're being replaced. The real them is being kidnapped and replaced by a member of Leviathan. Which is like, where are you keeping all these people? Are you just killing all these fucking people whose identity you're taking? Because they're trying to slowly take over the city. It's kind of like in Dark Knight Rises. But the image that, I don't know, maybe this, I don't know if this is racist or not, but the teacher comes into the classroom. It's the ghetto, basically, in one of those schools that is just tore up. There's no, one of the poor schools, the kids don't pay attention in class, they're fighting in class, they're all black, except for two of them who look like they're Hispanic or something. Would you say they're all minorities? And the teacher, to get their attention, she pulls a gun on them and tells them, basically, she tells them, you're being groomed as slaves while the rich mock you with eternal promise of success that you'll never achieve. Today, we're going to learn something new. Leviathan brings a better way. And I'm saying, what you mean they're being groomed as slaves? She need to be, if Grant Morrison is trying to get in this little message, being like, y'all black people, y'all don't understand, y'all poor, when y'all go to school, y'all being groomed as slaves. Is he saying that, or is it just saying, or is this totally Leviathan, you know, in his comic book being, you know, they're the bad guys, so they're going to say this to everybody? Because in real life, the real ones being groomed to be slaves are the middle class white folks who are Republicans, the poor Republicans, who believe that they're going to be like the rich Republicans someday. If anything, I hate to say it, but in the ghetto, there's a lot of people who they just tuned out of society, and they just, you know, maybe they do the manual labor, some of them, but some of them just don't. They just deal drugs, or they find a way to be paid by the system and live in poor conditions for all the rest of their lives. Because they're not going to be slaves. So why would they want to be a janitor or a doorman or anything like that and get paid piddling when they get paid piddling anyway and just be poor? So, but I'm thinking, maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe this isn't Grant Morrison saying anything. Maybe he just, this is just Leviathan. She's a bad guy, and she's going to start with brainwashing the kids in school. And it's funny, in this class, all the walls are torn down. They got bars on the window. There's nothing. The walls are bare. The paint is peeling and chipping. But they got one poster in the back that is a marijuana plant with you know, with the Ghostbuster sign over it, or the, you know, the circle with the slash, like no marijuana, no drugs. I ain't never seen like a marijuana plant on a no drugs poster. But I think that's a funny touch. That's a cool touch. What else? Oh yeah, the teacher brought a damn gun to class in first day that she's a teacher, and starts brainwashing the kids, and they're surprised that, oh, there is. And this is the next panel. So one parent yelling at the principal while the teacher is sitting in the principal's office next to his son, who his son is just looking off into the clouds and is saying, this is Leviathan speaking now. They're saying, one or two parents complained when kids reported an armed militant teacher preaching revolution in class. The complaints were taken to the recently appointed principal. And then, of course, you know, the principal is Leviathan. The cop who he calls at Gotham PD is Leviathan. So he gets rid of the records of the parents' complaint. But it's like, a teacher wouldn't be, the parent wouldn't be going, just go to the principal. He'll go to the police. He'll go do all kinds of stuff. But no, he goes to the principal. Principal does nothing. And the next thing you know, the parent is being taken off in handcuffs. Oh, because the cops set him up. So the cops are setting up the parents who have anything to say about it and putting them in jail. And because the judge is on Viathon, you know, they setting them up with, you know, being either pedophiles or embezzlers or whatever, even though these parents are innocent. But it's like, wow. But the kid, are you saying, oh yeah, and then the kids are taken away from the parent and put into the system, which is Leviathan. But the kids don't seem to mind. That's in this comic book, the kids just looking like, fuck dad. It's like, what the fuck? They made it a little too simplistic. But as far as this comic being Batman, I'll skip that in a second. Matches Malone, we get to see him. I was okay to see this character in there. I was looking forward to this because this is one of Trenchcoat Mafia's. He doesn't like Batman. He doesn't like Bruce Wayne, but he likes Matches Malone. And even Matches even was in the Batman animated series. I guess Matches goes back a long time, probably the Batman in the 40s or 50s. Who knows? But he's just an alter ego that Bruce Wayne uses when he has to go to the underworld and get information. And we see a cool scene with Matches. Matches just is an underworld guy, but he has this whole, 1940s gangster's personality. And he's a real shady character who always wears sunglasses, even inside the building. And it's just, there's a scene here, a 1940s scene. And this whole thing is like, you know, basically it's Batman and Robin. It's not Batman Incorporated. Incorporated only makes one appearance, you know, as three of the members of Batman Incorporated are Matches Malone's henchmen. Match Malone. That's it. And they're only in two or three panels. That's it. And there's no more mention, or you don't see Incorporated anymore after that. And or you can call this Batman Family, because Dick Grayson makes an appearance in here as Batman and as Nightwing. And of course, Damon's there. And the whole, I like the whole, their whole dynamic, you know, Bruce, Dick, Damon, the way that Grant Morrison writes it, and Alfred also. So this is a Bat Family comic. Another thing I like is when they look at the connections of all these supervillains, and not the whole Rogues Gallery, but just the supervillains who are affiliated with Leviathan, and everything that's transpired since Batman brought Damian on to be Robin. We see this goes back. It has all these images of all these characters, and I just like when they do that, when they use older images from other books, from other Batman stories and DC related comic from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and they put it into a new comic. I like that. And that's what they use this this connection image. Mostly this is images from the last 3 or 4 years, and that's why I'm glad too, because this comic book makes it clear do some of the things that the characters say and do this chart that Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin from 3 or 4 years ago is still in canon with this Batman. Some people don't like that. They say, oh, if you're going to start over the DC universe, you need to start over from scratch. You can't, there's no, this is what Len Kara says from Atop the Fourth Wall. He says that there's no, it's either or. Either you're going to keep all of, you know, all of the old DC universe, or you're going to scrap it all and start everything from start. And I'm everything from scratch. And it's like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. Okay, they can pick and choose what the fuck they want to do. It's DC. I already said it before. If Batman and Green Lantern are in the stratosphere of popular, and people love it, and everything else in DC is in the dregs, okay, nobody wants to read it, and it's shitty. But then you start over the universe again, and there's evidence to prove that all of the other 50 comics that you have, besides the two that are popular, all the other 50 comics, I'm exaggerating now, I'm just using numbers, but let's say 47 comics are shit sales, but you know if you reboot it and start from scratch, you'll get stellar sales. But you have three books that are a hit. Why would you change the formula of the three books that are a hit? You have to save the whole company. So, yeah, a reboot is fine for those 40-something titles. But don't complain when DC is doing a great business model. You don't fix what's not broken. And this is what the DC, old DC fans are saying about DC Universe in general. It's not broken, so don't fix it. It is broken, bitch, because nobody's selling. None of the comics are selling. Marvel is kicking their ass up and down the street. It was broken. Now it's fixed because the sales are up there and people, yeah, it doesn't matter about fucking people who've been reading the comic books 30, 40 years. They need people to read comic books right now. So I don't blame them for fixing everything except for Batman and picking and choosing, because Batman and Robin was always big sellers. You know, I don't even really buy DC comics, but I bought Batman and Robin and I bought some Green Lantern. So you know that, you know, most people are buying Green Lantern and Batman already. Okay, let me get off my soapbox. Basically, Batman Incorporated, great, is still going good. And I don't know if anybody who, one guy complained about Grant Morrison's writing on Batman Incorporated. To that person, you have no taste whatsoever. What the fuck is wrong with you? Batman Incorporated so far is great. I'm talking about the current Batman Incorporated. Even though it is kind of wonky and weird that, okay, Batman Incorporated 1 year ago or 2 years ago, I think it was just like one or two, not even 2 years old, is the original Batman Incorporated, and they already rebooted it. So there's within 2 years of each other, there's two Batman Incorporated. It's the same thing, or two Batman Incorporated number ones. The same thing with Superboy, Kurt, or Connor Superboy, Connor Kent. There's two within a year of each other. There's two ongoing Superboy number ones. Okay, and then of course, and I have one of the issues of Superboy number one from last year by Jeff Lemire. I'm going to review that in a couple of shows. But that's weird. Okay, Superman number one from 2011, or dated 2011, January. And there's Superboy number one, January 2011. Then Superboy number one, like December 2011. That's weird, weird, weird. All right, so Hit Girl number two. I told you something about Hit Girl number one. I forgot what I told you, but I can guess. I told you that they're retreading stuff that you've seen already with Kick-Ass 2. But first, I want to ask a question. How could you drug your parents? That's right. Mindy McCready, the character of Hit Girl, puts some kind of sleeping drug in her parents' coffee, and they knock the fuck out. Meanwhile, her father, Marcus, if any of y'all are familiar with any of the Kick-Ass comic books, her father Marcus is always trying to wrestle with her to not be a superhero, or she's going to cause her mother to have a nervous breakdown and to act like a little girl and no more superhero bullshit. And meanwhile, while he's arguing over the table with her about this, he passes right the fuck out because she drugged his coffee. And then and the mother, she's in the living room drugged out too. And she drugged his coffee so she could leave the house because he was forbidding her to leave the house because he knew she was going out to do vigilante shit. My question is, how do you get away with that, Mindy, when you come back and they're all woken up? I mean, how you get away with that? How does he not lock you in the room? And we know he doesn't, because this story takes place before Kick-Ass 2, and that's why some of it feels retread. Hit-Girl is training Kick-Ass to be a badass fighter. Marcus is giving Mindy speeches about not being a superhero, and she has to be a little girl now, a regular little girl, no more superhero shit. That's already been done in Kick-Ass 2. They're doing it again here. It's retread. I mean, it's still all good fun, especially when we see Mindy cursing Dave out. Kick-Ass, she's cursing him out like, motherfucker, quit being such a nerd and come on and let's be a goddamn superhero. Quit being a pussy. She's been doing that since Kick-Ass 1. Kick-Ass 1, Kick-Ass 2. But there was a scene where she's training him to bust through windows like Spider-Man or Batman or any superhero. Just bursting through the fucking window, and he has to practice it. And that's a funny scene. And then she initiates him by, like, he has to burst into a window and, kick a bunch of mob bosses' asses. Okay, so, it feels retread, but it's still kind of fresh and fun. Yes, it is a little too violent for me. She's blowing people's brains out and shit like that. And Dave seems to be he's callous toward the violence nowadays. He's just, when he sees people's brains get blown out, he's like, jeez, my God, what are you doing? Instead of being, like, shocked in a catatonic state. And it's like, okay, she's training him to be a badass. She's been training him for a long time. When is Kick-Ass going to be a badass? As much training as Mindy is giving him. I mean, he does start out good. He beats up the mall. He bursts through the window and beats up on some mob bosses. So that, he has some skill. But by Kick-Ass 2, he was still like, like a little bitch. Okay, it's like, shouldn't you be a badass by now? Let's see here. The other fun thing in here is the subplot with Mindy trying to establish a secret identity. Well, it starts out with her wanting to get along with the other kid in school, even though she has nothing in common with them. But she wants to be a part of that crowd. And now she sees it as a mission to create her own secret identity, like Bruce Wayne's identity for Batman. Bruce Wayne cultivates his Bruce Wayne persona as one thing, totally different from Batman. And she's trying to do that now. And with the school kids, and there's a little scene here where Dave is giving her a list of things that she's got to know as a little girl. She's got to be into. Let's see here. Oh, he said she's got to buy a whole bunch of fashionable new clothes. She's got to be into. He says, "Now see, Sly, Bruce, Ernie, Verhaven, Jean-Claude and McTiernan movies are all banned." And it's like, wait a minute, what kid? But then I get thought, yeah, that's right, this is Hit Girl. So I guess she would like the action movies. But these are old movies from the 80s, Would she be watching those action movies? But I guess so, Big Daddy probably grew her up on those movies. So, but he says she can't watch 80s action stars anymore. She must be a fan of Expendables. Then he says, Legally Blonde, Katie Holmes, Emma Roberts, and all vampire stuff is solid gold. Okay, not all vampire stuff. I think the teenage girls just like Vampire Diaries and Twilight, and maybe True Blood. And I think True Blood would be too young for a 13-year-old girl. I mean, too mature for a 13-year-old girl. Let's see here. Who's Emma Roberts? I ain't even going to bother looking up. I don't know. Katie Holmes. She ain't have a movie in a long time. And Legally Blonde. When is this story supposed to take place? Okay, 2001? I mean, what the hell? He's out of date. And then there's a scene where the girl, where one of the Heathers, I'm going to call them, or one of the quote-unquote mean girls at the school is trying to break Mindy down. And, of course, that ain't going to work. But she says, I hate you, bitch. We're going to fucking destroy you. We're going to shatter your brain like you're Charlie Sheen. What does that? What the fuck is that? Shatter your brain like you're Charlie Sheen. What does that mean? What the fuck does that mean? Okay. But I do like Mindy's response, which is, on the contrary, Debbie, you and I are going to be the best of friends, and I'm going to gain the respect of the entire group by supplanting you as the alpha female. Now, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty funny. I like that. I like this whole comic book. Okay, I like this whole comic. But the, oh yeah, and then we see, I forgot, the Crimson, whatever his name is, the bad guy from all the kick-ass comic books, the son of the original gangster from issue one. The Crimson Mist or the Red Mist or whatever the fuck he is, that motherfucker. Now, we know that he's not going to go all out and be the bad guy in this because he's missing between Kick-Ass 1 and Kick-Ass 2. He's supposed to have been out of their hair. So here, but here is showing him the background of him trying to become a supervillain and also take the family business back from his uncle. So, but I don't see what that's got to do with Hit Girl's story if he never shows up in Hit Girl's, because according to Kick-Ass 2, he shouldn't show up in Hit Girl. And for all y'all who don't know, Hit Girl takes place right between Kick-Ass 1 and Kick-Ass 2. This should be Kick-Ass 2, and Kick-Ass 2 should have been Kick-Ass 3. And so it'd just be a neat trilogy. It is a trilogy. Kick-Ass, Hit Girl, Kick-Ass 2. Okay, and just knowing some of these things that will or knowing what happens to these characters, is kind of sad to see some of the characters in here. It's like, damn, because they're having a good time, they're having a good life, and a good, you know, they're just enjoying themselves. And then you know their world is going to end in Kick-Ass 2. That's just fucked up. Now, the comic book is cut short by a travel diary called Milla in Vanilla, which is Mark Miller traveling to Manila and other countries, or Macy. It's just, he's giving a little diary of his little trip to Manila, because they went all out for him. He's at the National Bookstore, and he's got a big poster that just takes up the whole side of the building with just Mark Miller, the Miller and Vanilla, and the place is packed just to hear him talk. I'm like he's a superstar in Manila? Really? They on Miller's dick like that? But the thing is, there's a diary about, you know, his stay there and you know, him getting drunk and waking up drunk. And it's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck about your personal private life. They just want to see comic books, and this comic book should have been longer, because they got Super Miller and Vanilla, plus they have a preview of Super Crooks issue 4. They need to just kill all that and let Super Crooks issue 4 will be the only thing where you can see pages from Super Crooks. I don't want to see it in my Hit Girl comic book. Let's see how much time I got in the show. Well, shoot, that's about 26 minutes. That's one more new comic before I go. Extreme X-Men. I was gonna get it yesterday, but I was like, I'll put it on hold. It came out yesterday. It's brand new. It looks very interesting because Greg Pak is the writer, so you know it's going to be good. It looks interesting, and I like the fact that they're subverting the title Extreme X-Men from that stupid Extreme X-Men that Chris Claremont wrote while he was burnt out from writing all that. God, he was long past due to leave the X-Men world, but no, he's still in the early 2000s. He's been doing it how 20 some odd years at that point. And then he comes out with Extreme X-Men, which is awful and terrible. just another extreme 90s comic book. And now they're subverting that title right now because it's Greg Pak writing it, and it's it really is extreme because it takes place in kind of in the multiverse where they take characters or X-Men characters from different alternate universes and they become a team. Emma is Emmaline. I don't know what her character is, but I have a feeling she's a bit more nicer and maybe than the original Emma. I don't know. Wolverine, I don't know what Wolverine is. He's just a totally different character. Looks like Zorro or some kind of weird character. And the same thing with Nightcrawler is in the last part of that team, and he's like a kid in the alternate universe. They picked a kid version of him. Again, I don't know anything about it. I shouldn't be talking about it, but I that looks good. Extreme X-Men. So that's been the episode. Next episode, which would be tomorrow. Fuck it, tomorrow. I'll review another new comic for a new segment called Comic Book Issues. These are comic books dealing with some kind of social issue or something like that, or something that comic books shouldn't be talking about, or a subject that I am glad comic book is talking about because they're going to fuck it up and it's going to be fun to rip them a new a-hole. Tomorrow is the first issue of that. The first episode or debut segment of Comic Book Issues being Archie 635, which is also a new comic book. And the subject is Occupy Wall Street. That's you know, the Occupy movement, basically. That's the subject for tomorrow's Comic Book Issues. If you want to reach me, I'm at blackpun2000@yahoo.com or tho.om@live.com, or you can go to the website thuncast.blogspot.com. Or check out my Facebook, Tim Terrell. Oh, no, forget that. There's a Doom Facebook page. I'll put a link to it. I need to put a link to that thing. Yeah, join up the Facebook page. And I'm not getting that many downloads. Y'all give me your assessment why I'm not getting any downloads. You think it's because I'm not on iTunes, which Vicious Smith just wrote me an email saying, when you going to get this on iTunes? Well, my other service automatically put me on iTunes. All I had to do was click a button saying I wanted it to be on iTunes. Now the new service that I'm using, it's not like that. I probably have to do some manual shit. I know it could be done because Trenchcoat Mafia did it, but I'll figure it out. I'll put Zoom back on iTunes. Maybe I get some more downloads. And yeah, until next time. Hit me up. And if you do hit me up with a suggestion for a comic or anything, I'd like to know a reason why you want me to review it or talk about it. So this has been the episode of Doom. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.